Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Warriors, Toronto leading the best of seven game set, 3-2. While the U.S. Open is underway, Scott Piercy, your current leader at 3-under through nine holes. Two-time winner Brooks Koepka teeing off just before 2 o'clock. Tiger Woods starting just after 5. In baseball, Indians have the day off to take on the Tigers tomorrow on the road. Team has dropped 2 out of their last 3. What should the Indians do with Brad Hand? Our beat reporter James Rapine explains on our website, 923thefan.com. With their 2020 sports, I'm Jonathan Peterlin.
All right, quick quiz. What do the U.S. Open and the Kent State fight song have in common? The U.S. Open and the Kent State fight song, what do they have in common?
Both played in the United States?
No! Ben Curtis!
Ah!
Doesn't that work well?
Sure,
see what
Jeff.
I did there?
Yeah.
U.S. Open, underway at Pebble Beach. And, of course, you know, it's beautiful Pebble Beach, right? Where Tiger Woods dominates and
yes.
won by 15 strokes and the most amazing golf performance I've ever seen.
Yes.
Joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former British Open champ, pride of Kent State, and the golf correspondent on Baskin and Phelps. I know we know that, Ben, there's no cash in that, just FYI. It's Ben Curtis. Hello,
hey guys,
Ben.
How are you doing?
Hi, Ben. Of all those titles, which one is most significant to you?
The golf correspondent.
All right, good.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, who cares about the British Open, right?
It's a minor deal compared to this.
A minor.
Yeah.
And we don't care when we're talking to you, but we brag to everybody else when we're not talking to you. Just so you know, that's how we roll.
Yeah, perfect.
Forget the fact that the Open, A, paid, B, put you in golf history for forever and ever. You're with us. That's now you got something going for you.
Exactly.
Congratulations. Pebble Beach. What kind of a venue is Pebble for a major, Ben?
It's awesome. I mean, it's, you know, obviously it's not the longest course in championship, but you got to be very accurate. It's very similar to St. Andrews. You know, there's this mystique and aura about it. You know, you walk in there and you're like, yeah, this is pretty cool. You know, there's no better place in America, I don't think, for a major than Pebble Beach with the history of it. You know, obviously you got Augusta, but you know, it's pretty cool with that, the backdrop with the Pacific Ocean and the mountains, and it, you know, it's just gorgeous, plus a really good golf course.
Hey Ben, because it's at Pebble Beach this week, the story of Tiger Woods only having one ball left in his bag during the second round in a you know, an event that he won by 15 strokes. How does that happen? How does Tiger Woods only have one spare ball in his bag and he didn't realize it until his caddy Stevie told him 6 months later? How does that happen?
Well, ultimately Tiger is responsible, but usually that's one of the things. I mean, and I think majority of the players would agree that they always have their caddies checked before they leave the locker room area, make sure we got enough balls. I mean, I remember my caddies, that was the first thing they did, to put the clubs down, and they're looking to see how many balls we had in. So I find that very, very odd and weird because, I mean, I don't know if you remember, I think he hit one. He hit in the water on 18 as it finished the round, and then he gave him his last ball, and he actually luckily hit the fairway and went on to win, but... Yeah, it's a very odd circumstance, for sure.
So, there's no rule on how many balls you can have, right?
Yeah, how many do you put in your bag?
I mean, yeah, normally I had between 9 and 12, but, you know, most guys take a dozen with them a day. But, you know, some guys probably carry 6. I mean, it probably depends on the course you're playing. Like Firestone South, for example, I mean, you can get around there with 2 balls, really. I mean, because there's no out-of-bounds. there was one water hazard, I think, on the whole property. So, yeah, it just depends on where you're at.
Yeah, Ben, it's interesting because, like, when I play, I use these. There's a brand called Range, and they put these lines through them.
Really,
and
I got
a whole bag full of those.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, those you can't mistake those for sure.
Ben Curtis joining us.
What a quality brand, too.
Yeah,
Range.
That's nice. Love the red stripe. Ben Curtis joining us. Ben, Brooks Koepka has won two straight U.S. Opens, and we know how well he's been playing. I don't know if he can play as well as Willie Anderson did in 1903, 04, and 05, because Willie had a heck of a short game. But what leads to a guy winning back-to-back majors? And the weird thing, it's not like it's a, you know, it's not like Augusta where it's the same course. And you're playing different courses. Did Koepka, and I won't say get lucky, but did his skills just rise? Or is there something about this guy where in a major he's there?
Yeah, I think there's something about him. I think I had actually last week. I had tea so with his caddy. So we went over to the house. They ran in for the Canadian Open, and we had tea. And I said, "What's going on with this guy? What's up with him?" He goes, "There's something ticks when the major comes around. Like he gears up for it all year, and then his mindset just completely changes." And one, he just doesn't care. He just goes out and plays golf. Like he's not worried about, you know, holding the trophy up or what's it mean to win the U.S. Open or the magnitude of the stage. He just goes out there and plays golf. And but he's smart. And that's even what Ricky said. He's got a very high golf IQ. He understands, you know, it's a major championship. You make a lot of pars and you just keep grinding away and you give yourself a chance. You're going to have a good chance on Sunday. So there's just something about him, and it's kind of like the Tiger of old, and, you know, maybe he's the new Tiger of golf. I mean, obviously, he just goes out, he does his work, he doesn't care about the media and about the limelight, he just wants to go play and win tournaments.
Ben Curtis joining us. Bren, when I heard all the stuff about Pebble Beach and a lot of the guys talking, say, we're going to leave driver in the bag, you know, we're maybe four holes, we're even going to hit driver on, and I started to think again about the fact that golf technology has moved so far. And, you know, guys, like when you're watching a tournament and you hear, you know, like Dustin Johnson's 200 yards away and he's got an 8-iron. Now, that sounds insane to me. It doesn't sound insane to you. You can hit the ball like that. But I've always wondered, should golf ever change the technology? For instance, like baseball has, where baseball, nope, we're not going to use aluminum bats in the major leagues. We're sticking with the wood bats. Could you ever see a day or a reason with golf courses maybe becoming obsolete or being outgrown where the ball gets regulated? You can only have, you know, so much compression on a ball or the clubs or something like that. Is that an idea that's worth investigating, or is technology just going to keep going?
Yeah, I mean, technology is always going to keep going, but I think the one thing that they could probably do would be the golf ball. I know Augusta is possibly looked into having a ball that you can only use for that tournament. So, yeah, I think the ball would be the biggest thing. But, so the courses are running out of room, all these great golf courses, Pebble Beach. I mean, you can't, you know, there's not much more length they can add to it. So, you know, great courses around here like Canterbury. I mean, it's a great golf course, but they just can't add any more yards to it. So, and as strong and as hard as these guys hit it, yeah, I think the big thing would be the ball and obviously the drivers and stuff. The irons, there's not much they could do bringing that back, because I think the technology hasn't – I mean, it's changed a little bit, but it hasn't changed that drastic like the drivers, obviously.
What would the players think of that, Ben, if they were told, hey, here's the type of golf ball you have to use? I know with endorsements and everything else, you know, you might have to use your own brand of ball. But how would that play?
It'd be interesting. I mean, I think, what's the ball? Who makes the ball? You know, first of all, is it Titleist? Is it TaylorMade? You know, is it Bridgestone? You know, whose ball is it that they're going to choose? Obviously, they would all could make their own and follow it, but yeah, I don't know how that would go, to be honest with you. I think, it's kind of like baseball. Everybody would adapt. These guys are good enough. They will adapt. there's no doubt in my mind, but I think you would see a lot of different names. You know, you might see some of the guys, you know, that have been around a long time that would go away, and the young kids would obviously have time to adjust. But it'd be very interesting. I personally, it wouldn't bother me, but I know some guys would say, no, I've been playing this brand my whole life, and I'm not changing it. And, you know, even though, like, them, me, I've played Titleist my whole life. But knowing that, you know, we're good enough, we can make those adjustments.
Do you think it would bother them, the fact that maybe the ball just wouldn't fly as much as usual? Would that change the PGA Tour drastically, or would it be in a bad way or a good way?
Well, I don't think it would affect it really much either way. I think Dustin Johnson, with his swing speed, would still carry it 290, 300 yards. It doesn't matter what ball you put in. He could go back to the old Bellatas or the old Tour Professionals and stuff like that, and I think that he would still hit it 290, 300 yards in the air just because he's got that much speed. Obviously, he would put a lot more spin on it, and I think that would be the big difference.
Ben, how much can a pairing affect you when you play? Like, if you're playing, like, clearly, if I was there today, I'd be like, oh, I want to go watch Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, and Tiger Woods. But as the player who's in the spot, is there a guy you'd rather play with, or a threesome, or a twosome that you'd rather be in based on the way you're playing, or friendships, or if one guy plays a little faster or slower, or what would be the perfect pairing for you?
Well, I mean, obviously, you want to play with somebody that you've played with before, so you know their mannerisms, you know their routines, and kind of how they go about the way they play on the golf course. But also, you want to be comfortable. You want to be out there with somebody you have a good time with and have fun with. And that could be a caddy as well. It may not necessarily be the player. It could be someone else's caddy. It's like, hey, I really like this guy. We can have good conversations going up and down the course. Like, for me, I always like playing with guys that like to talk and, you know, didn't just, you know, weren't zeroed in the whole time. And, you know, caddies that had a good personality. And, you know, so you had a little bit of fun going down the fairway because, you know, especially in a major, you're out there five and a half hours. And, you know, it's a big grind. So for me, it was always great to be able to have that conversation, kind of get my mind off of what's coming up. And obviously, you know, you would have to respect their time and, you know, and stuff like that. If you see a guy make a double, you're not going to go over to him and tell him a joke right away. But
good but, move.
But anyway, so you got a little bit of that. But yeah, it always helps playing with somebody that you've played with before, especially in a major. You know, I know, like Brooks, I just saw the pairing, like he's playing with Molinari and then he's playing with the amateur champ. So I'm sure they may have met him earlier this week or in something else earlier this year, but, you know, they probably haven't played with him before, so it might be a little bit awkward.
Did you talk – what would you talk about? A lot of football stuff or just
life?
Yeah, we talk
about sports, or you talk about life, or, you know, like what the family's up to. It just depends on who you're with, you know. Like when I played with Freddie Jakobsen, he's Swedish, so we would talk about you know, food and wine, or we talk about the kids because their kids are a similar age and they got along well and stuff like that. So we talk about what they're doing and all that good stuff. So it just depends on who you're with. Now, with John Daly, you're probably talking, you know, a little differently. You're talking about
chicken
wings. Chicken wings or Hooters and that good stuff.
Ben Curtis is joining us, former British Open champ, our golf correspondent. I've always liked watching Jordan Spieth, and obviously I haven't liked watching him for long because he got hot and, you know, it's not been that long ago, but he really went through a really rough stretch last, I think, three times out, tied for third at the PGA, was pretty good at the Schwab, and seventh at Muirfield. I can't imagine what a fine line it is for a professional golfer to stay on track, but it looks like he might be getting his way back on track. How do you do that, Ben? And how do you try and stay as good as Spieth was during that stretch?
Well, I think, you know, he came off such a high, right? I mean, he was playing like Koepka. You know, he just went in a lot, and he was, you know, obviously number one player in the world or something close to that. And he just had his confidence really high. And then all of a sudden you lose it, and it feels like it's hard to get back. And but you got to do it in baby steps. So you can't just – you're not going to be shooting, you know, finishing, missing cuts and playing poorly and all of a sudden just start winning every week. It's little baby steps. So, and I think you're right with what you say. Like, he's gone in the right direction. It's not like he's just going to win out of the blue now. I mean, you know, the PGA obviously had a good chance in the middle of the third round or whatever. But, yeah, it's just taking those baby steps. And golf's a funny game. You never know. And it could be one little thing. And, you know, I know he sprays it a little bit off the tee, you know, the last couple of years, and that's been a big reason why he hasn't played as well. But I think, you know, making those baby steps, and it could just be one little tweak in your swing, something mentally, just something to give you a little bit of confidence. And I think maybe he just lacked it a little bit in some regard. So, you know, it's good to see him back because he's great for golf.
Ben Curtis Foundation Golf Classic coming up August 13th. Ben, details.
Yeah, so we got a 1 o'clock shotgun. It's Firestone South Course on August 13th. We'll obviously have a great day of golf and playing one of the great courses in the world, let alone Northeast Ohio. Yeah, so it's going to benefit our foundation where we help feed kids over long weekends throughout the school year in three different communities in Northeast Ohio. So, yeah, we're just looking at our biggest fundraiser. So we're looking to build upon that so we can affect more kids. And so you can go to BenCurtisFoundation.org to learn more information about that and all the other events if you want to donate, play, volunteer, all that good stuff.
Sounds good. August 13th, Firestone. Andy and I will see you out there later on.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Ben. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate your insight.
Ben, thank you.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Curtis joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Technology and golf. Ben said he could see the day where the pros are playing one specific ball. Either.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.